That last song y'all sung, Brother Jared. Oh, Brother Allen, how deep. I ought not be here, Brother Jared. It's a miracle that I'm here. But for the grace of God, I'd be in hell. We have nothing to boast in ourselves. There ain't nothing good about us. We're wicked. We're ungodly. Thank God for Calvary. I appreciate the privilege of being here. I look forward to this. This has been several years in a row now that I've been able to be here. I love Brother Ken. And I love all you other preachers here, Brother Brad. I love you, buddy. And a lot of you here, Brother Allen. You a lot to love, and I'm glad God's got a lot. Brother Donald, he's one of my precious friends. I love you. I could spend a lot of time just talking about how I love everybody here. I'm just glad I'm saved. Amen. Living in this day, I'm glad I know I'm going to heaven. No more sinning can be charged to my account because of the blood of Jesus. Thank God for it. Thank God for the blood. I do appreciate some of my guys being down here. They look rough. Brother David said he picked them out from the beginning. Somebody called them my amen row. I think it was Brother Brad said, "Your amen pew's here." Bad thing about it, my amen pew's on the back row. But I love these men right here. They've drove a long ways to work hard the next couple of days over on that camp. I appreciate these men right here. They had no idea how much, and I love them very, very much. Take your Bibles tonight, I reckon, and turn to Genesis 22. I wasn't here Sunday morning or night. I got here late after the service was over. I've been made aware of what talked to Brother Allen about his message. I was here Monday night when Brother Carl Partain preached on "Will You Praise Him When He Don't?" Tremendous thought. It was good. I needed to hear it. Last night, Brother Brian Bridges nailed me to the floor. God used that man to preach the word, and I needed it. Boy, we need a good scolding every now and then, don't we? And I appreciate that. But there's something that they all had in common, and you might find it a little odd when I mention what they had in common, but I'll explain myself in a minute. Every message that was preached, even though I wasn't here when Brother Allen preached, they was all pointing or dealing in some way, shape, or form in the area of worship. For instance, Sunday night, Brother Allen preached on Ahithophel. Bitterness was the theme. In that, you see worship halted. There ain't no way you can worship when we got bitterness in our heart. You can forget it. Monday night, Brother Carl Partain preached on, will you praise him when he don't? The key word in that message on Monday night was brokenness. And that we see worshiping hurt. Boy, sometimes you gotta worship even though you hurt. Ain't that right? Last night, Brother Bridges preached from the book of Ephesians and dealing with our flesh. And the key word last night was behavior. In that word, we see worshiping hindered. If there's one thing that'll hinder our worship, it's when our behavior ain't right. Tonight, I want to use Abraham and come from Genesis 22. The key word tonight in my message, or the message the Lord has given me, is believing. In this story, you will find that worshiping honored. And how that worship was honored in the life of Abraham in this story. I begin reading in verse number 1 of Genesis 22. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thine son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Here's Abraham believing in verse number 3. "And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him." Boy, I wish I understood sometimes where God wants me at. I'd get there as quick as possible. By the way, it'd be good for all of us to get to where God wants us as soon as we can. "Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder." I love my King James Bible. I'm glad it uses languages that rednecks understand. But notice he said, "I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." I want to stop there for the sake of time and use verse number 5 as a springboard and deal with these verses. It said, "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship." I want to preach a message with this thought in mind tonight: getting to the place of worship. You can be seated. You see, going to church is one thing. Going to worship is another thing. I will say that if there is only worship when you're at church, you're missing the mark. I have found out in my Christian life that when I can worship outside of church, I can worship when I'm at church. If I don't worship when I'm outside of church, then guess what? I find myself not worshiping when I'm at church. I think a lot of times we come to church and nothing ever happens in our life. Some come to church because it is a good place to be. It's really not popular anymore. A lot of people don't like church, but It's a good place to be. Some come to church because they have activities for their children to be involved. And that's a good thing that churches sometimes have that. But that should not be the main reason why we go to church. Some people go to church because they have a good senior ministry, and some go to a church because they got a big youth outfit, and they've got a bus ministry, and all these things are good. There's nothing wrong. They have their place. Thank God for churches that have these ministries and are able to do those things. But the main reason that we come to church should be for one reason, and that is not to be seen or not to be heard. It shouldn't be for a barbecue or a party or to have a free place to be buried. The reason we ought to come to church is to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That should be the only reason why we go to church. Let me ask you a question tonight before I continue. Why did you come to church tonight? I don't know about you, but in my own life, I want to get to the place of worship. I have 2 points for you this evening, and then our time will be well spent, and we're going to go eat some more rabbit food down there in the fellowship hall. The first point I want to mention to you is found in these verses, and that is the going to worship. Have you ever found and realized how hard it is sometimes to go to worship? You know, sometimes it's difficult. Notice with me in these verses, in verse number 3, we see first of all the anticipation of going to worship. It says in verse number 3, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning." He was anticipating the place of worship. He didn't really know where he was going. You ought to thank God you know where you go to worship. You go to Liberty Baptist Church. And I'm glad you can worship God just as much on a mountaintop somewhere as you can inside a building. Now I'm going to make a statement right here before I get carried along, and don't take it wrong. I have to maybe help us all understand it, but that is, some people feel like church is their God, and the only place they ever are able to worship God is in church. I've got a problem with that. I want to say that I do thank God for the church and corporate worship that God has ordained, but church is not my God. This is a place for us to worship God, but church should not be our God. And so, he was anticipating it. Man, he was excited. He got up early in the morning. And it don't matter how early you get up on Sunday morning, it's always going to be a little difficult getting there. The devil's going to see to that. I see the preparation of worship in verse number 3. Y'all stay with me. I hope it's all right if we just stay in the Bible. "And Abraham rose up early in the morning." That's the anticipation of worship. Here's the preparation. "And saddled his ass." That means he had a donkey and he didn't know how long he was going to be gone, and he started preparing to go to worship. God had told him, he said, "Listen, Abraham, I want you to leave and go yonder, and I want you to get to that place that I tell you of, and I want you to worship." So the first thing that Abraham started doing when he got up was preparing himself. He said, "I better go get my donkey and start loading things up." Didn't know how long he was going to be. If you'll notice, Miss Abraham ain't mentioned nowhere in this story. She's somewhere else. Sarah, she's not mentioned here. I wonder where she's at. I don't know. The Lord left her out for a reason. And a reason could be that God wanted you and I to see a man that was the spiritual leader in his family preparing to go to worship. The problem is, in our day, most of the time it is the women who are the spiritual leaders in the family. Case in point, usually at my church, and I pastor, been pastoring for many years now, not as long as your preacher. I read about him in Bible college and some of the history books. He's been going at it so long. See, I just look older. He is old. And somebody was picking on me the other day and said, your hair's turning gray. And I'm like, yeah, at least it ain't turning loose yet. But I want to say thank God for the women that are the spiritual leaders in their family. Some of our families wouldn't be where they are today if it wasn't for a few women that loved God and got their babies up when their no-count husband would stay in the bed and let that wife take them kids to the house of God because she was worried about their soul. I say thank God for godly women that come to the house of God. Now, on the other hand, let me say thank God for godly men that are the spiritual leaders in their family who are up early in the morning preparing your family how to go to the place of worship. I believe one of the reasons America is in the problem and the mess she's in today is because we dropped the ball. We're no longer excited about worship. We're more excited about a ball game or a party or a barbecue. We're not thinking about taking our children to worship. We're thinking about taking them to some school event when God is on the throne and wanting us to get to the place of worship. Let me ask this question tonight. And I'm not going to say you. I'm going to say we. And include me in it because I'm no better than y'all. And be careful and watch out when a preacher's always pointing his finger at y'all. He's got a problem. I got as much problems, probably more than anybody in here. Oh, you mean really, preacher? That's right. Only difference between me and you is I'll admit it and you won't. What did we do tonight to prepare for worship? What did we do? Don't answer it. Ask yourself, did you saddle anything up and prepare for the journey? Huh? Did we do anything to prepare ourselves to get to the place of worship? Number three, going to worship. We're still going. We'll get there in a little bit. And I'm not going to preach long. I promise you that. So if y'all go to sleep on me, you can't take preaching. I'll just go ahead and tell you that. And by the way, if you can sleep on me, go ahead and do it. You're a pretty good sleeper if you can sleep while I'm preaching. I might sit in your lap, but go ahead and sleep. Notice the participation in going to worship. Verse 3 again. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. That's the anticipation. And saddled his ass. That's the preparation. And here's the participation. And took two of his young men with him. And Isaac. Let me tell you what Abraham was doing, Brother David. He was having an influence on other people around him, not just his family, and encouraging them as well to get to the place of worship. Now here's the thing. Abraham didn't even know, preacher, where that place was at. All he was doing was trusting God that God was going to get him there. He put his feet to work and said, God said we're going there. I don't know exactly the location. And I've got to be honest, I don't exactly know where worship is at sometimes in our churches. I go to church, you go to church, you're looking for worship and you can't seem to find it. But rest assured, God knows where the place is. And if we keep walking with God, then sooner or later, God will get you to that place. Worship. You see, just because we get up, and just because we're anticipating it, and just because we're encouraging other people to go, it don't mean we're going to be there real quick. Sometimes it takes a while to get to the place of worship. But that's something we ain't got much of, and that's time. Ain't it amazing? We'll give God about an hour and a half on Sunday morning to get us to it. And if we don't get there, we'll say, well, then the preacher didn't prepare, undoubtedly. The singers didn't prepare. There's something wrong in the church. They sinning somewhere in the church. because we never did get to that place of worship. There's got to be something wrong when really, truth be known, we don't give God enough time to get us there. We don't have enough time. Leads me to a fourth point about going to worship, and that's the exhaustion. Look at verse number 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Hold on, time out. Wait a minute. Brother Jared, he traveled 3 days with a donkey. It don't say how many, but the word he used in verse number 3 was singular, not plural. He didn't have more than one donkey, or at least it does not say he had more than one. He had one donkey. He had two servants and his son. So there's four people going to worship, and on the third day, I don't know if Sarah knows anything at all, but her husband and her boy, the promised seed, the blessed of God, have left and they've gone missing. And now 3 days later, here are these men that Abraham talked into going with them. They're thinking, well, my goodness, how far is this place? I mean, they didn't have a Chevrolet back then to get them there real fast. I'm pretty sure they did have a Ford back then. And they did walk everywhere they went. Yes. And all the Chevy people said, my guys on the back row knew this was coming. They're used to all these punch lines and they've heard this sermon at other places before. And y'all know when to say amen, fellas. So say amen when you know you're supposed to. But anyway, they was tired. 3 days journey. And during this exhaustion, you know what else it don't mention? You know, a lot of times we look only at what the Bible says, and that's what we should look at. But sometimes I pay attention to what the Bible don't say. And let me tell you something the Bible don't say in here that's got my attention. Brother Eric, it don't mention them taking a rest, a nap, or sleep at any time. 3 days journey. They looked up and they still a long ways. Let me ask you this. This is going to get us right here. It's going to get us right between the eyes. How far away are you from worship? Now, I'm not talking about how far away are you from God. How far away are you from church? How far away are you from your wife? How far away? No, how far away are we from worship? Now, watch. If you come Sunday and Wednesday and you're faithful, guess what? If you come Sunday, y'all are here Wednesday night. Y'all the core of the church. Y'all are the workers. Without y'all, this church goes. Thank God for the Wednesday night crowd. Sunday morning crowd, they love their church. Wednesday, Sunday night crowd, they love their preacher. Wednesday night crowd, they love the Lord. So I know why y'all here. Y'all love the Lord. Yeah. Y'all love the Lord. But if you come on Sundays and then you're back on Wednesday, if you leave Sunday, you're 3 days away from worship. Some people don't even come on Sunday, just Sunday morning, that's it. So that means you're 7 days away. If you come back the next time. There was a hunger in the heart of Abraham that was driving him. He got his boys up. He said, boys, we got to go. I don't know. We ain't even going to mention Sarah in this, but we going somewhere. Daddy, where we going? Son, God said we've got a place for us to go. And we're going to meet with Him on top of Mount Moriah. And Isaac, I can see him as he grabbed the wood and the fire and the knife and he started packing that donkey and they headed out of town. And the fire that was burning inside of Abraham's bosom was greater than the fire they was holding in their hand. There was a hunger inside of Abraham to worship God. That is what's missing today in the lives of believers. There's no hunger for worshiping God when we get to the place because we forgot how wonderful and glorious He is. He's the Ancient of Days.
He's the Lord of lords. He's the King of kings and the God of all gods. He's the one that flung the stars into the sky and spoke the moon into existence. He's the King of salvation. He's the one that saved your soul and forgive us of all of our sin. He's the one that gets up in the morning and never goes to sleep. He's the God that does all things according to His own will and works all things together for our good. You're the apple of His eyes. We're the King's kids. We're part of God's family. The blood has been applied. He died for our sin. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's our King. And we forgot about it.
And the hunger that people used to want just to worship. Preacher, I've got good liberty. And that's sometimes, you know, we can say things we ought not say as preachers and get ourselves in trouble. But I thought about this, and I think I'm going to be all right, because you know as well as I do, I wouldn't do a thing to hurt you or your people. But let me say this. If you're in here tonight, and you've got a little chip on your shoulder, and you're a little mad at somebody because they might have done something just a little bit, don't mean nothing, and you walking around here with your nose stuck up in the air, and you've got a bad attitude, and you're indifferent, and you think you're better than everybody else, why don't you get rid of that attitude and get to the place of worship? That could be the thing that's hindering this whole outfit. I'm not here tonight to be seen or just fellowship with y'all. I've come to church tonight because I need to meet with God. I need to worship Him. Sometimes the reason you'll never get there, according to Brother Allen, with bitterness in your heart, your worship is going to be halted. Let me give you another one. We've seen the anticipation of going to worship, the preparation, the participation, the exhaustion, the deprivation. No sleep mentioned. The destination, which is Mount Moriah. Look at verse number 5. I want to show you all another one. And that is the separation of going to worship. Some of y'all hardcore independent Baptists like this because it's talking about separation. We ought to all said amen right there because that's the theme of most independent fundamental Baptist messages. Here we go. Verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. That's the separation of going to worship. Brother, I forgot your name. I love your spirit, you and your wife. What was your name again?
Paul.
Brother Paul. You know what I learned from that verse of Scripture is this. There's some people in our life that will never be able to go with you to worship. Hold on. There's some people in our life that you're going to have to get away from if you're ever going to get to worship. Y'all didn't hear a word I said. They might be some people in our life that we might have to separate ourselves from before we ever gonna go to worship. Now you ought to ask yourself this question. Who is it in your life you need to cut ties with? And it might be somebody that God lets you take with you for a good ways. And God allowed them to be a part of your life. But now God wants to get intimate with you, and He never will be able to with these other people around in your life. Brother Allen, there's some people in my life I've had to learn down through the years I thought was good for me. They was helping me get on down the road where I felt like God would have me.
but I never could worship. And I figured out once I got away from them that what was really hindering me was God was wanting to deal with me as an individual, and I had to leave them at another place, or I was never going to be able to worship God and experience His plan for my life.
Watch this. Here's something else I learned about that, Brother Paul. God will take you some places that He won't let nobody else go. God wants you to experience some things that He don't want nobody else to experience. Hey, hold on a minute. Stop. This is a good one right here. Thank you, Lord. God wants to do something in your life that He don't want nobody else to see, because if they do, then they're going to start worshiping you and probably end up hating you. Because usually when God does something in your life, a miracle or something, and you think everybody really loves you, they don't. Oh, you want God to bless you? Plan on other people to start hating you. Huh? I know we use that word, don't we? Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Could you really handle it if He did? Huh? If I go up here tonight in the service, I love Brother Mike Rollins. If I say, Brother Mike Rollins, I love you. Lord bless you. We say that very frivolously. But could I take it if God really did bless him? You know how I know that? Because sometimes God will do some things in people's lives while we're worshiping, and sometimes we'll sit around and look at what God's doing in other people's lives and doubt the very fact that God done it. Oh, Lord. Yeah, we'll say God didn't do that. I mean, how many of us would really be here if preacher come in and he had had a son? He didn't. He had two daughters, Megan and Macy. And Miss Macy would probably whoop you worse than a son would. But what if he had had a son and laid his son in here on the altar and he's getting ready to slay his only son? Because that guy's whacked out.
Yes, sir.
What if we'd have been there on top of Mount Moriah when Abraham's taking his boy up there on the mountain? He's getting ready to do something nobody else ever seen. You reckon that's why God said, all right, you might ought to leave them down there, because what I'm getting ready to do, ain't nobody else seen nothing like it nor heard, but I'm getting ready to build your faith like it's never been built before, and God may be about to do the greatest thing in your life that He's ever done before if you just get away from some people in your life. Separation. The motivation of going to worship. He wanted to meet with God. Let me show you this in verse 7. I'm going to get to my last point. Y'all didn't know I had all these bullets, did you? See, any time a Baptist preacher says he's only got 2 points, don't think for a minute that means a short sermon. Verse 7, we see the confusion of going to worship. Look at verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for burnt offering? This little boy, I preached a message here about 4 or 5 years ago on when life don't make no sense. And I come off of that verse right there where Isaac asked his daddy, where's the lamb? Some of you, anybody remember that message a long time ago? Alright, now, here he is confused. If there's ever been a day that's confusing about people going to worship, it's now. I mean, some people think, preacher, they're worshiping if they've got smoke screens and strobe lights and they got a rock band up there. Bang, bang, wow. Hair spiked straight up in the air. They look like they've had about 5 Red Bulls. And they'll sit there and, man, they'll jump up and down during the singing, look like a rock group from the 60s. No, they wasn't wild in the 60s. 70s. Let's go to the 80s. They was really crazy back then. And they'll go to church and they act like a rock and roll band. And people will come to church and they're like, oh, this is so wonderful. This is so great. And you know what? They ain't even missing the lamb. There ain't nobody missing the lamb. People's going to church now and the lamb ain't even a part of the message. Everybody's talking about everything else. When they, hey friend, we cannot worship without the lamb. There's got to be a lamb. There'll be no worship without the lamb. And Isaac, no doubt, as a little kid, he said, Daddy, where's the lamb? All right. Going to worship. Point one. That's gone. Point two, the glory of worship. And that's what happens when you're there. All right, let's look here in verse number 14. I see a glorious thought. If you'll notice, Let's look at verse number 8. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now, before I go any further, let me say this. Did y'all notice that Abraham took with him everything that he needed in order to worship? He took his own fire. And he took a bunch of wood so he could keep his own fire going. Sometimes you better bring your own fire and you better be able to fuel your own fire when you get there. All right. I said that, now I've got to get back to my point here. Now let's read a little more. Verse number 11. Verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and looked, behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. So you know what he done? That means he let his son go. All right, y'all hold on just a second. Stay with me. I got two or three more things and I'm going to be done and y'all going to be gone. If you don't get this, you're going to miss it all and it's going to be bad. You'll have nightmares for the rest of the week. All right? Probably get up more and have a flat tire. So pay attention. Abraham had Isaac laid out on the altar, right? He's got him bound up. That's what the Bible says. Laid him on the altar. He pulls out his knife. And he's getting ready to stick his son with a knife. Getting ready to sacrifice him. I mean, he's going to follow through with this. Some of y'all are thinking, boy, there's been times I'd like to kill my son. But here he is. He's getting ready to really do it. An angel says, don't do it. Here's the thought, the glorious thought. And you find this at worship. And here it is. Y'all ready? The knife in your Bible, in typology, is a picture of what? The Word. The Word is sharp, quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, right? Now, the knife is what was getting ready to kill Isaac. The knife is really what had Isaac condemned. Right? The Word is what had you and I condemned. Right? But the day we got saved, it was the Word that set us free, right? So here you see a picture of Isaac. He's laid on the altar and the knife is about ready to take his life. And the same knife that's about to kill him is the same knife that set him free. When you get to the place of worship, you'll find out that the Word is the same Word that set you and I free. Let me give you another one about the glory of going to worship. In verse 1, I see a glorious transition when you get to worship. Look at verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, watch this very closely now, behold, hear what? Now, say it correctly, hear what? I am. Look at verse number 11. Verse 1 is before worship. Verse 11 is after worship. Look at verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, what? Here? That's right. Verse 1 he said, what, Brother David? In verse 1. Well, I am. Verse 11 he said, what?
Here am I.
Here am I. Well, is that not amazing? There was a transition that took place in the life of Abraham after he went to worship. And in verse number 1, I, which is personal, pointing at itself, is before the am. And we all know who the great I am is. But after he goes to worship, he says, here am I. So now, he's not in front of the am, he's behind the am. Giving us a picture that if you ever get to worship, you'll find yourself in the back of this outfit instead of up here in the front. God has a way of getting rid of our pride.
Yes, sir. Good.
Last point and I'm done. See a glorious truth. We've seen a glorious thought, a glorious transition. I want you to notice the glorious truth. I want you to notice it, verse number 15. Y'all watch your Bibles now. I'm about done. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven. Look what God done because he believed God and honored worship. Are y'all getting what I'm talking about? This whole week, whether you see it or not spiritually, has been getting us to this place to where we honor God in our worship. And that's when we start seeing all these other things. Look at verse 18. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. Look at verse 19. Watch. So Abraham returned unto his young men and they rose up and went together to Beersheba and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Stop. Did anybody hear Isaac's name mentioned? Remember I told you at the beginning of this thing, we ought to look and see what God says, but sometimes I pay attention to what He ain't saying.
Right.
He don't mention Isaac's name. Now we see where Isaac went up on the mountain, did we not, Brother Paul?
Right. Yes.
And then when Abraham goes back down, it says in verse 19, let's read it again, just make sure we didn't skip his name. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Huh? Isaac's name ain't mentioned. It's as if, brother, that Isaac stayed on the mountain. Now we know he didn't. But for some reason, brother, God wanted us to remember Isaac on the mount. Or he would have said, Isaac came down too. But he didn't. They went up. Why didn't they come down? Did y'all know that Isaac's name is not mentioned again in your King James Bible. You can go home and look it up yourself. Until chapter 24. It's as if God just says, let's forget about Isaac for a little while. And the last time you read about him, he's up on a mountain, Mount Moriah. And by the way, Mount Moriah is the place where Calvary was. That's Calvary. In chapter 24, the next time you see him, guess what he's doing? He's meeting his bride, Rebecca. What about that? It's as if God says, I'm going to leave Isaac up on the mountain. I'm really going to take him down, but I want the whole world to think he's still up on the mountain for now until I get his bride. And that's what God has done with Jesus right now. You see, he's not really on Mount Calvary. Jesus really ain't. Jesus really ain't on Mount Calvary. But we got the cross up so everybody will remember Mount Calvary. But he's really not down on Mount Calvary. He really did come down off of Mount Calvary. Did he not, Brother Allen? And the next time this world sees Jesus on the big scene, it'll be when Jesus comes for his bride and he comes to get his children. That's the glory of worshiping God. How long has it been since you've been to the place of worship in your heart? I'm not talking about coming to church. Let me tell you what I think would be good for all of us is to ask God to help me get there. Won't you stand to your feet? Brother Jared, you and your sisters, come on.